And you know, people will sit by Shabbat brachas, they say over all sorts of interesting Torah. So I've heard some Torah that a chassan and a Shabbat brachas, they say that he's daimed to a mace. There are many similarities between the chassan and a dead person. There's shiva, there's shleishim, right? Hakala, she can wash her face, she can wear shoes, right? And the yud beis chaydesh also, the whole shana rishayna. And then, but in Yiddish, they say, by both of them, they say, Ibsadu Gelt, and Simafut Kan Yisrul, and Vi Altazer. So those two, three questions they ask, both by the Chassan and by the Mace. How old is he if they're going to Eretz Yisrael, and how much money there is. Okay, so here we're going to talk about the mitzvah of burial in Eretz Yisrael. Two interesting shilas recently came up in the neighborhood where one, I don't want to say, go through all the details, but so it got me thinking about the topic in general. And in general, we're learning Hilchos Avelos in the afternoon, and the Halacha Chabura. And I started to realize that there's really a lot there that the common people don't know. And unfortunately, it shouldn't happen. And Mashiach should come today, and Bilam Avos LaNetzach, or whatever. But Lemaisa, it is halachas that affect everyone. And in many things, no one knows anything. In certain halachas that it's mamish. Well, so we'll have to talk about it. Okay. Okay, so we'll start off with the Gemara. So the question is, who said you have to get buried? You know, we seem to assume that one needs to get buried. So who said? Maybe not. So who was the first person that was buried? Was Hevel, right? When Cain killed Hevel, so Adam Risha buried him. So the Medrash says that Adam didn't even know what to do. He just, the first man died. Okay, what do we do now? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his infinite kindness and wisdom, sent the Oirev, who came, and there was a dead bird, and he dug a grave, and he buried him, and that's the first source in the Torah, and Heilig Sudam HaKadoshim Shtait, that when the first place in the Torah, that's the Shemesh of the whole Indian, but that's not the type of Shia I'm giving tonight. Okay, so, but the Gemara Sanhedrin, that hopefully some of you weren't, says, the Gemara says like this, that the Gemara asks this question. The Gemara says, how do you know if you leave the mace overnight that you're over a lot? You're over a lot. So leaving the mace overnight. So the Gemara brings a pasuk, Talmud Loimar, ki kover sik berenu, right? So what's this pasuk talking about? It's a pasuk ki seitze that says that when somebody gets skila, right? They throw him off a building, they stone him to death, right? From Bezin. So then the Pasuk says you have to hang him up, right? And then they hang him up for a little bit, and then the Pasuk says we have to bury him that day. He should not be left overnight. But rather, he should be buried that day. So though this Pasuk is specifically talking about this man who was killed by Bezin for his transgression, nevertheless, the Gemara says this, the Rashi says there's a riboy of kabasik berenu to tell us that everybody needs to do it. That everybody, there's a mitzvah of kvura for everyone. If you're medayik in the Gemara, to go back to the yeshiva days, the Gemara is a little funny because the Gemara asks, minayin, how do you know? Lemalinus mesa. Sha'ivra beloisa say, how do you know that you have violated a negative commandment? And what does the Gemara answer? Talmud Lomar, kabasik berenu, that there's a positive commandment to bury him. So the Gemara asks, what's the source that there's a negative commandment to not bury him? And the Gemara answers, there's a positive mitzvah to bury him. So they go, interesting, no? The Gemara asks, what's the... Well, it says something else, right? That's the question. So the Yashar Chaim, who probably the first sefer was written about 100 years ago, was the first sefer that really took all the halachas together, made the first sefer on all the halachas of Kvura, Avelos, and everything is in there. He's kind of like the father of all the, since then, the other Svarim have been written, but he was like the first one who wrote the Sefer. So he says, the Tarot says there's really both. There's a lav and an ase. The kovertik berenu is a mitzvah ase. There's a positive commandment to bury, by Yomahu that day. And then there's a lav of loisalin v'laselates, which includes any not burial, to not leave it overnight. And there's a halachic nafkamina between the mitzvah ase and the lois say. The mitzvah say is to be buried that day. Ki kavasik berenu b'yemahu. So that day ends by shkia. But if you have not buried the mace by shkia, you weren't mekayim. That's mitzvah say. So we'll discuss possibly how to get past this in different situations. But on a simple level, the pasuk is saying the mitzvah say to bury the mace that day. There's a lav of loisal and of los alates not to delay the burial, but that is only at night. And there's a machlekes in the achrayim when that is. Some say it's chatzais, others say, or even part of the night. It shouldn't be any part of the night, but others say that it has to be the whole night. So you wouldn't be over the lav until the morning. That's a machlekes. If when is the iser of halana sameis of loisalin, when are you over on it? Okay. The next Gemara, interesting, the Gemara brings the Ikeda Amri. It's another version of the Gemara. Amri, we're going to discuss. Don't think every guy that waited till tomorrow for the Levaya, that he was over a lav or an assay, whatever. Hold on. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says, Ikeda Amri, others say, that Amri B'yechanan, Rishim Rishim B'yechai, and I look, Remez L'kfura Minat Torah. So this second version says, Remez L'kfura Minat Torah. So the Lacha Mishnah and others want to be medayik for the fact that the Gemara uses the word remez, that obviously it's only midirah, but it's not a mitzvah to say deraisa to bury him. And therefore, that's what some want to say. Others, the Ramban says that we find remez in other places. Also, even on mitzvahs deraisa, the Gemara will say remez. So it's not a raya, but there are those. There is it's a minority group of opinions that hold that mitzvah kvura is only midirah bana. Okay. Fine. So of course the Achrenim say that if it's lechvoida, if it's for the covet of the mace, to we'll have more people by the levaya, or in order to have the relatives should be able to come. So that of course is called the covet of the mace. And therefore, for the covet of the mace, the Achrenim explained that then you're not over on this lav. This mitzvah of covetic perenu and the lav of loisalin is only for no good reason. But if there's a good reason for the covet of the mace, something for him, they couldn't do the kfura properly. It wouldn't have been b'derech kavod if the kfura would have been done that day. So then leaving it overnight, if it's for the kavod of the mace or the kavod of the people of the avelim of the relatives, so then it's you're not over on this lav. I mean, it's an interesting situation because b'derech klal we don't find we have a mitzvah to do this mitzvah. You have the mitzvah to pay your workers that day. Doesn't say anywhere that if you would honor your worker more by waiting till tomorrow, you can pay him till tomorrow. So it's an interesting mitzvah that has to be done today, but because of the covet, so all of a sudden the mitzvah is not, what?
The whole mitzvah is covet.
The whole mitzvah is covet. Oh, yeah. Okay, that could be, because that really raises another very, very strong question, which is that the Gemara asks the question, why do we bury the person? Right? That's the Gemara. The next Gemara asks, why do we bury? Is it Kvura mishum bizayin, is kvura because of bizayin to the mace, or mishum kapar, or is it for atonement? So the bizayin, the Gemara goes on to explain, is the bizayin of the people. If he'd be sitting there, it's a disgrace that their relative is just lying here. And if it's for covet, or it's for kapara for the deceased. So the Gemara asks, what's the difference? And the Gemara says, let's say the guy says, I don't want to be buried. I don't need this. So if it's because of bizayin of the people, we don't listen to them, we would bury anyway. But if it's because of kapara, and the person says, I don't want kapara, so then you don't have to have kapara, right? The Gemara says, if a person says, I don't need Yom Kippur, so I don't need the kapara of Yom Kippur, so the Gemara says, Yom Kippur is not mechaper. So if you don't believe in it, you don't get it. So that if a person would say that, I don't need the kapara of kvura, then Taka wouldn't get the kapara, according to that side. So the Gesher HaChaim asks, what kind of question is this? Why are we doing the mitzvah? Is it because of bezayin? Is it because of kapara? And if a person says, I don't want the kapara, then on that side, you wouldn't have to bury him? It's a pasuk in the Chumash, you have to bury him. Because this covers it perenu. What kind of Gashayla is that? So he bribes Tzarchi, and he says he doesn't have an answer to this question. So it's a very, very good kasha. How did the Gemara start saying reasons and saying according to this reason, it would apply. With that reason, it would apply. What kind of reason is that? The pasuk says, you have to bury him. There's no room for negotiations of reasons. That's a kasha of the Gesher HaChaim. He also asked that there's also many other sources in the Torah for this. It says that that by the Kehanim, that the Kehanim are allowed to bury, are not allowed to be metama to mason, but they're allowed to be metama to their own mason, which is clear that they have to be metama. And by Kohen Gadol, you can also be metama. We find the Pesukim, the Gemara learns out from Mason Mitzvah. So there are many other sources. And the Agash HaChaim asks, why does the Gemara only pick this? Okay. In the end, the Gemara says that Lamaisa, the Gemara at the end, hopefully everybody learned until the end, the Gemara says that the mitzvah is because of the, that the mitzvah is, the kvura is because of the covet of the people. And therefore, if a person would say, I don't want to get buried, we would not listen. We would not listen to him. Okay.
Also covet or only covet?
Only covet. No, I'm sorry. There is also kvura. There is also kapara. There is also kapara. Right. There's actually two parts of the kapara. The maisa kvura itself is a kapara, and the ikal abasa, when the body itself rots. And when the body itself decays, it's also a kapara, is another degree of kapara.
It's a deacon who don't need kapara because the arts people don't rot, right? Whereas, no, kapara, right?
I'm not qualified to answer such questions. So this is Al-Kapanim, there were tzaddikim that were exhumed and the body was completely intact. I don't have an answer because the Gemara says in tzaddik bar tzaddas tivul yachta, right? So everybody does something. I'm not qualified. The Gemara says only four people will die for the Yitzhak Nachas. So I'm not qualified to answer that question, but for now we'll proceed. Okay. So the Gemara says, so the question is, why don't we make a bracha on the mitzvah of Kfuras HaMeis? Right? We're doing a mitzvah deiraisa according to most shitas. And even if it's a mitzvah derabbanan, we make brachas on mitzvah derabbanan, lahalad ner shel Chanukah and stuff like that, right? We make brachas on mitzvah derabbanan. So why don't we make a mitzvah? Why don't we make a bracha? So the Gash HaChaim says a very interesting text. He says that on a mitzvah that's constantly happening, that you just started now, but the mitzvah continues, you don't make a bracha. And he says the mitzvah is not the kvura. The mitzvah, the kvura is consistent. The whole mitzvah continues to the point that, let's say, the body would come out. For some reason, someone uncovered it, or there was a storm and became uncovered, you mechuyev to go back and cover it. And it even says in Evan Ezra that if the husband, one of the husband's chiyuvim is to bury his wife. If he buried her, right, so seemingly you would say he's done, he's finished with his obligations, but because the chiyuv kvura goes on forever, he would have an obligation, you know, 10 years down the road to go back and rebury his first wife. So that's, this is the Gash HaChai wants to say this chiddush, to which I don't understand, because kedushin also, a person gets married, and the mitzvah goes on forever, and you do make a bracha, right, on the mitzvah of getting married. So I don't know, I don't have a good answer for this, but this was a point that I figured I'd mention. What? Why does it go on forever? Other than according to Reb Shimon that said that, to Baruch Ber, that the kedushin is mischadish itself again every second, but pashas, you do the mitzvah, it's a consistent mitzvah, no? The mitzvah of Peruvu, it doesn't go, the mitzvah of Sheita Lanas Arus, okay. Okay, fine. We'll fight about that later. Okay. Loma gain vita. Okay. Included in the hetter to delay the kvura overnight, l'chvayda is even if it would be very expensive to bury him that day, to delay to the next day is also mutter. So this is all l'chvayda is to delay the burial one day. But to delay the burial 2 days, many achrayim hold that you don't have this heter anymore. So that's another issue.
Why is it any different? It's still the same
level. Apparently, you only get that. I don't know. I'm not sure, but I did see this, that many achrayim hold that it can only be delayed one more day. Okay, whose obligation is it? So on a simple on what? If it has been Shabbos, so but we'll talk about Shabbos. So Shabbos, obviously, we don't bury. What? No, so Shabbos we do. Now, Me'ikar Adin, we do bury on Yom Tov Rishon with a guy, right? We Me'ikar Adin, we're supposed to bury even on Yom Tov Rishon with a guy. My grandmother in Mexico was buried on Yom Tov Rishon with a guy, and Mikra did. That's what we're supposed to do. And Yom Tov Sheni, we bury even all Yidei Yisrael. That means if we have to bury the person on Yom Tov Sheni, so obviously optimally if we can get a guy, we get a guy. But if we can't get a guy, then the Jews themselves on Yom Tov Sheni are allowed to dig the grave. And I even saw a very mechudish dig a psak. Ask your rabbi before you actually practice this, Chas v'Shalom. But rather, to Pesach Frank Paskin, the halacha lemaisa, to be negay burying someone on Yom Tov Sheni, he said that they could even, if they couldn't find a guy to drive, they could even have the Jew drive on Yom Tov Sheni to drive the minimal amount of people to get him buried, not to have a minion, to make a minion not, but just to get him buried on Yom Tov Sheni, he paskin that he could even drive, because the Gemara says that Yom Tov Sheni ben Negei Kvura is Kechol Chashavu Rabbanan, right? The Chacham would not go, the whole Yom Tov Sheni doesn't exist. And this was the minig in Klal Yisrael for years. I mean, that's what comes out from the Gemara, that's the paskin to paskin, that we buried on Yom Tov Rishon with a guy, and on Yom Tov Sheni even with a Yid. And Damas is, I mean, Mekra Adin, really, Jews should really dig the grave also. Mikra Adin, part of the Kavod Yisrael is that Jews should dig the thing. Today, it became very hard, and the common thing is in most places, I think even in Yerushalayim, is that Goyim dig the grave. But Mikra Adin, even the Jews could dig the grave, and they could even dig it on Yom Tov. Even that part could be done. Today, that it's all done by Goyim, the norm is that it's done by Goyim, so it should, the Paiskim would say, it should be done by Goyim if it has to be done. If it has to be done on Yom Tov, if I understand correctly, the reason why it stopped commonly the burial on Yom Tov Sheni was that, like my father told me that my grandmother was buried in Mexico on Yom Tov, and some friar, his second cousin, drove to the funeral. Right, they didn't need him there. He wasn't digging the grave. Right, so Reb Moshe stopped this. That's what I heard, that Reb Moshe put an end to it because of the tremendous Chil Yom Tov that was generated because of these non-religious... What? The Gemara says to bury him. There's Issel on a Sameis. What do you mean refrigerator? There's Issel on a Sameis. What do you mean? The mitzvah is to bury him today. So take, get in a car, get an Uber, call the Uber with a Shinoi and go down to the... That doesn't say freezer. It says it's a mitzvah. It's a mace. No, you could bury him today. So bury him today. The Gemara says that you should do. So that's how I heard why it stopped. I understand it. In Kiryas Yoel Monroe today, they still do bury on Yom Tov. Okay, but to that degree, we go because of the mitzvah of Alana not to keep to delay the burial unnecessarily to the point that we'll even bury on Yom Tov. Wow. On Shabbos we don't, and on Yom Kippur also we don't, even on Yidei Agai. But in general, Yom Tov we would.
Why is the Yom Tov not the Shabbos like Mila?
I don't know. I'm not able to make such drushes to be Matu Yisurim on Shabbos based on a pasuk. It's just not my. It's out of my pay grade. Okay. So. What? A what? Rosh Hashanah. They would treat. I think Rosh Hashanah. It's Mefurish Shabbat. I think they treat both days like Yom Tov Rishon, right? That's one of the halachas of Rosh Hashanah. We treat the Yom Arichta, that we treat both days like Yom Tov Rishon. Okay, so whose obligation is it? So initially, the obligation of Kfura is on the family. It's their mitzvah. They're the ones that get the mitzvah. They're the ones that are over. If there is no family to bury it, so then the Chiyuv is on Klal Yisrael, Bezdin, and if there's specific people who took charge, that they're the shluchim of the kehillah, the chaver kedisha, as we call them, so then it's their obligation to make sure that it gets done right away. So Gash HaChaim does bring from his Rebbe, Reb Shmuel Salant, that he, when it was Negea, he would say, you take the mace straight to the tahara, straight, go straight to the Levi, do not pass gold, do not collect $200. He would not wait for anything. He felt that the mitzvah was immediately, the mace must be buried right away. Not even discussion of tomorrow, waiting overnight. He insisted on having them buried immediately. This was a peda of Reb Shmuel Salant, and he says he never got to ask him why what his makar was and why he was so machmir to do everything immediately, but they would not stop for anything. As soon as he died, they did the tahara, the kvura, finished, next. Okay, so Okay, so now we all know that there's a mitzvah of halonas hameis in Yerushalayim, right? Not to leave a mace overnight in Yerushalayim. So the question is, everybody asks, if there's a mitzvah to not do halonas hameis, to leave a mace overnight in New York, right, or in Miami, so why is Yerushalayim different? It's more Baba Kama that says 10 things, special things they had in Yerushalayim. And one of them is that they didn't leave a mace overnight. So why is this different? So there's many terutzim. The basic terutz that most people say is that elsewhere, if somebody dies outside of Yerushalayim, you're allowed to delay the burial for the covet of the mace. In Yerushalayim, they will not even to delay the burial, even for the covet of the mace. That's the chiddush of Yerushalayim. So they don't wait at all. I have heard that at times, in severe circumstances, they took the mace out of Yerushalayim and they waited until the next day. I do remember that when Reb Shach was nifter, his son said that he was living in Chutz Laretz, and his mother, Reb Shach's wife, was nifter, and Reb Shach didn't want to wait to do the levaya, and they made the levaya without the son. They would not. Reb Shach would not wait for him to come to Eretz Yisrael, and so he missed his mother's funeral. Okay. I don't know. Okay. Another answer that they give is that in Yerushalayim is that we said before that if there's a significant difference in money between burying him today and burying him tomorrow, so that's another heter in general to wait overnight. In Yerushalayim, you're mechuyev to bury that day, even if it will cost a lot of money. Rashi and Baba Kama says, and perhaps this is the source of Rav Shmuel Salant, Rashi says that in Yerushalayim you have to bury immediately. It's not about waiting overnight. Rashi says you must do like Rav Shmuel Salant. As soon as he dies, Tahara, Levaya, Kvura. Next. There is no waiting for anything. Okay. Now, so the question is, we're really supposed to talk about burial in Eretz Yisrael. So is it really important to get buried in Eretz Yisrael? So, there's a simple diuk in the Shulchan Aruch that we learned today. The Lashon. You want to grab me the Aruch HaShulchan Yeriday, the last one. Thank you very much. In Shinsamach Beis Sif Aleph, it says in Shinsamach. Where are we? In Shinsamach Beis Sif Aleph, it says that Anosin Meisay Ba'arayin, v'lo kavri b'karka. If somebody puts the mace in an aron, just in a box, right, like a mausoleum or something, v'lo kavri b'karka, didn't bury him in the ground. Over mishum malin as a mace. So he's over, even though the mace is technically in a box. He's still over on the iser. Vim nosna ba'arim v'kavri b'karka ain't over alam. If he's in the box and in the ground, he's not over anymore, right? But mikomakim yafa, it's good, says the mechaber, l'kavri b'karka mamish, right? He should be on the ground. Commonly, what they do in our circles is that they bury in the box, and either the box has holes in it, and the makar of that is not a modern source of making holes in the bottom of the box that is on the earth, but actually Rabbeinu HaKadosh actually said to bury him in a box and make holes in it. So this goes back about 1800 years ago. So the source of making the holes in the bottom. In other places, when the guy's not looking, so then the Jew slips out the bottom part of when they lower the coffin in the grave, and then the Jew that's in the grave, the live Jew that's in the grave, pulls out the bottom from underneath, and he's just lying on the floor with a box on top of him. And that's Kfura Lechatchil. That's the Yafa of the Mechaber. Now, the Mechaber adds a very interesting word. He says, Vafilu b'chutzlaretz. Even if you bury in chutzlaretz, you're still Mekayim this halacha. Which seems very, very interesting, Diuk. I didn't see anybody say this, but I think it's Pashut. That the Mechaber is saying that, of course, the mitzvah of burial is in Eretz Yisrael. And he's saying, if you buried him in chutzlaretz, you also yaitza, right? That's what it would say. He says, I feel it in chutzlaretz. No, you're asking to my dear.
It's just not great to be writing for all the people who are living in Eretz Yisrael. By the way, halacha applies outside.
What? Bechaber writes halacha for Klal Yisrael. It doesn't say anywhere about Israel. He says, and if we bury him in a box, but you can put the box in the ground. It's better that he put not on the ground, not in the box, better be on the floor. And even in chutzlaretz, that means that optimally it should be in.
No, even Chutzlaretz. Even Chutzlaretz, you touch the ground.
Okay, if he would have said a filled with chutzlaret, then I would have said that. What? What? You need offer of Eretz Yisrael?
Yeah, what? Yeah.
If they're kagarets. Where would such a halacha come from? So, and the Aruch HaShulchan says that. You're saying that the Milo, it's not a mitzvah to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. You're saying even in Eretz, not only in Eretz Yisrael is there a mitzvah to pull the bottom out of the arm, but even in Chutz La'aretz is a mitzvah to pull the bottom out of the arm. That's what you want to say is shot here.
I hear.
Yes, and that was the minig for many years in many areas in Europe for hundreds of years. I don't know how they got so much dirt from Eretz Yisrael, but they used to put dirt in with every mace. That's what it says. Brought in all the paiskim. It's a common minig. The Aruch HaShulchan says he doesn't have this minig anymore. So apparently it stopped. Still done today. They still put dirt. The Aruch HaShulchan says they didn't do it in his time. I was never there. But they put in dirt from Eretz Yisrael still. The Aruch HaShulchan says he doesn't have that minute. But of dirt from Eretz Yisrael. Today it's much easier. But you could just imagine, like 500 years ago, how did they get so much dirt from Israel? The Aruch HaShulchan ran out. Okay, fine. Very good. So that's that halacha. Okay. Now, okay, so a few important halachas. Okay, so Rabbi Yashiv in the Asher Ish. Where are we? One second. Okay.
Should you set your camera up to be so that your relatives could visit you? Is that come into Cheshvan at all?
I didn't see anybody mention that Cheshvan. The most it does say is that there is an inyan to be buried with your family. And Rabbi Yashiv says that that's only mamish within Dalet Amos. There's an inyan to be buried im kivrei avosav, to the point that if you went through the other thing, it says that im afan in akever, you're not allowed to move the mace. So the Mechaber says, although it's also to move a mace, we'll discuss that maybe a little bit soon, but although it's also to move a mace, but to bury him with his family, then it's permitted. To be buried with the parents, so then it would be permitted. A person came from Eretz Yisrael to a person who lives in Chutz La'aretz bought a plot of land in Eretz Yisrael. And he asked Rabbi Yashiv if he should be buried in Eretz Yisrael or he could be buried in his hometown. And Rabbi Yashiv says that it is the minig, the bederach klal. That's the minig. If it's possible, it's roy that he should be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And the man asked Rabbi Yashiv for a bracha that he should be blessed with arichas yamim. And he said that this gufa having a plot is gufa a school of arichas yamim. Now, they have a plot in Eretz Yisrael. Now, when my mother was nifter, so people had told this to us, and we had many, many great Talmid Chacham coming to the Shiva, and we asked all of them, and no one knew a source, except for one old Ingen Ishruv, who said that Tachzuch Misa Chadu, but he never produced the Chadu. But apparently, the Marlo of the Pumid the Inchi, that it's a school of Arichas Yamim, and Rabbi Yashiv said so too. So that's that. Burial in Eretz Yisrael, they did ask Rabbi Yashiv. Also, a woman was buried in Brazil and they wanted to move her to Eretz Yisrael, which is another heter that Mechaber brings also there in Shin Samach Gimel, that to move someone to Eretz Yisrael is also permitted, right? That's another heter to move them to Eretz Yisrael. So this woman is buried with her parents in Brazil, and she actually, it's not clear to me if she wanted to go back to Eretz. She was born in Eretz Yisrael. She always wanted to go back to Eretz Yisrael when she was alive, or she really wanted to be buried there, but she wasn't buried in Eretz Yisrael. She was buried with her parents in Brazil. And they asked Rabbi Yashiv, what's a bigger mitzvah, to bring her to Eretz Yisrael now that she's already buried, or to leave her with her parents? And Rabbi Yashiv said that leave her where her parents are is a bigger mitzvah. So they said, what happens if we'll move her parents also? We'll move them all to Eretz Yisrael. So then he said, Ein Hanam. If you're going to move the parents, so then it would Taka be an Indian.
Once your parents are there, then someone's nifter, there, then they have a choice. They bury with the parents or go bury in Eretz Yisrael.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure which one is greater. I don't have a klar raya either way.
And who gets to decide this? Is it, I can just walk up to someone's camera and say, hey, you should, I'll pay for
you. Oh, beautiful. So listen to the story. Moshe has a tshuva. Seven Kuf Nun, Yeriday Gimel. I think it was in the pamphlet. You got all the way there. Then in England, they went ahead. It's a major money maker. They sold the Beis HaKvaros to non-Jews. It's hot real estate. You know, you can, the city's growing and there's this big plot of land. So what was the justification for selling the Beis HaKvaros? They said, we're going to move all the bodies to Israel. And you're allowed to move bodies to Israel. It's a Mefurish and Mechaber. You're allowed to move a body from Chutz Lartz to Bar Yimna in Eretz Yisrael. That's one of that term to move a body. So they said, great. We'll sell the plot for, I don't know, 25 million pounds or whatever it was. And we'll move everybody to Israel. And that's their hatter, and they'll make a killing. This is what they wanted to do. And Reb Moshe, I'm not the biggest expert. No pun. That was a real no pun intended. Okay. Usually it's pun intended, but this one was not. So Reb Moshe, and I never saw him in any tshuva ever talk with such, where are we? Oh, here it is. And I never saw Reb Moshe talk. And they left out, whoever put together the papers left out. Oh, no, he did. He left it in. Thank you very much, reporter, for putting together the papers. So Reb Moshe says a chiddush. It doesn't say this in the Shulchan Aruch, but Reb Moshe says a chiddush. That in the Mechaber says that you're allowed to move somebody, a body, you're allowed to move him from, now I'm scared. The Mechaber says that you're allowed to move. The Mechaber says you're allowed to move somebody from Chutz Lartz to Eretz Yisrael. That's one of that term to move the body. So Reb Moshe says a chiddush. Reb Moshe says that heter, that covet to move the body to Eretz Yisrael, is only if the family wants to do it. Stam as some guy wanted to make money in London and move the whole Beis HaKvaros to Eretz Yisrael, he has no hetter to do that. You're not allowed to move them. It's only the family members, as an honor to the parents. They shouldn't have to roll by Matrias HaMeisim. And there's also more of a kapara, because it says V'chipar Ad Masai Amai, to be better than Eretz Yisrael. Only they have a right to move him. But stam a person who says, I want to move the Chidah from Italy to Eretz Yisrael, has no right to do so. That's what Reb Moshe says.
What if it's an angel?
Maybe then he would be included in this heter. That's what Reb Moshe says. And at the end of the tshuva, what? Reb Moshe says it's only the family members. And Reb Moshe at the end of the tshuva says very, very strong l'shanis. I don't recall him ever saying anything like this in his tshuva z'chal of Yisrael and all the other tshuvas. I never saw Reb Moshe write like this. And he says, that seif davar hu davar aser, so davar aser v'tzarach limchais, b'kol koyach she'efsher, v'gam leilach bar kois. Reb Moshe says you got to take him to court. Al shemachu davar aser al bidin teira. Ula hachriz aleim, you have to call out publicly. WhatsApp. Sheim ovri das, v'chol ma she'efsher l'mnayim yizeh. And Reb Moshe says, ha'koisev v'choisev b'choisev, I write and I sign b'leiv mali tzar, with a heart full of pain, al sheheganu l'dei kach b'vein esein ha'rab, that we reach this point. So that's Reb Moshe's tshuva about this. So yes, there is an Indian to move people to Eretz Yisrael, but there is an Indian, what? Okay, so even the plot, even if they do sell it, the plot itself is asabano. This is, there's no money to be made here on moving. The whole moving is for the cover of the nace. The original plot is the loss of Anah. And if I understand, they can't even bury somebody else there because that would be Anah. So there's no gain here. It's just for the cover of the nace.
What did they want to do in London?
There were a bunch of guys wanted to make money. They thought of a great idea. Apparently.
Can you uproot your whole, let's say you have your great
parents, or can you do it sounds like from the Asher Yisrael from Eliyashiv that you could. Okay. The big question comes up.
What?
Right.
Not for
everybody. Exactly.
Not for money,
not right, exactly. Okay. So the big question, Shiloh recently came up where a woman, actually happened this year, that a woman was Nifter on Chol HaMoed, and it was Erev Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkos. Okay, so we had, it was Friday, Shabbos was Shabbos Chol HaMoed, Sunday was Hashanah Rabbah, Monday, Tuesday was Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah. So it was not possible to get the mace to burial in Eretz Yisrael before Yom Tov, which means if they were going to take her to Eretz Yisrael, she died Friday morning, she would be buried Wednesday afternoon in Eretz Yisrael. So this shaila of what to do in this situation, bury the person in Chutz La'aretz where they are, or take them to Eretz Yisrael under those circumstances, is a big shaila in the Paiskim. It's the big divide there. In this particular case that I heard the Rav that I spoke to about, is he paskin yes to go to Eretz Yisrael for this, that was more important, even though they would think, I spoke to many other Paiskim, they felt otherwise. One person told me over Bashem the Baba Maruv that he said that it's so important to have him buried right away and not delay. Even to bury in Eretz Yisrael, there would be kedai for the mace to come back alive and dig his own grave just to bury himself right away. Okay. Fine. Rabbi Yashav also paskins like this, that a Talmud Chacham was nifter in Chutz La'aretz on Erev Pesach. It wasn't possible to go to Eretz Yisrael anymore. And so the shaila was wait till after Yom Tov and go to Eretz Yisrael or bury in Chutz La'aretz. And Rabbi Yashav paskin, better not to wait and bury earlier is a bigger mitzvah.
So someone gets buried and they move them to Eretz Yisrael, that pre's burial spot is also better. Correct.
Okay.
What happens when the goyim take over the
What do you want to do?
Can't drive the road anymore, like the highway.
It's also, no, yeah, that's all those fights and all those demonstrations and all that lobbying and all that. It's because, yeah, there's hundreds of basic choruses, thousands, whatever, in Europe, and they all those people are there. I know one person, he put this tremendous slab of cement, massive, like 20 by 20, high, so that on top of the graves of his parents, so that he knew that it's such a massive thing, they wouldn't move and they wouldn't desecrate the grave. But like that, he foresaw this living there in Europe after the war. He knew that that's what it would take to preserve the grave. Rabbi Yashav Paskins. It's only the family, Rabbi Moshe says.
Yeah, but here,
there
are
nobody's living in Vilna, and it's when you're going to come to the mace. Or they're
going to
be dug up, and who knows what's
going to
happen.
Bulldoze. I don't know. If it's for Kavadam Meis, and Echanamis, then maybe. If that's the issue, Meis is another tshuva, it's a rough area, and it's okay. Meis has another tshuva about the way they bury in Florida, he's not talking about Florida, but he's talking about another place where there's a similar situation where they bury in the liner. So the Moshe is handling if that's a problem, if that's considered that he's sitting in a box in the ground, or that he's considered in the ground. The Moshe says that it's okay, and he doesn't even mention the tzad like they do it here, that they put the liner in and they fill that with dirt, and in the mace is in the dirt. But Moshe basically says that once you put a cement liner in the ground, that becomes part of the ground, and being buried in cement in the ground would be considered kvura baret, and that would be okay. That's what Moshe says. Okay, fine. Rabbi Yashav, interesting psak, was asked, what is a bigger schus for the nifter, to bury Chutz La'aretz and give the money to tzedakah, or take the mace to Eretz Yisrael? And what did Rabbi Yashav say? Give the money to tzedakah. Okay, fine. That's a psak of Rabbi Yashav. Okay, if a person, right, we said before, if a person was exhumed for whatever reason, there's a mitzvah to bury him again. Okay. Where are we? Okay. So that's a shaila. I remember where I was at a levaya where there was something that never happened before or after in Eretz Yisrael, but there was a shvita, a strike. Okay. Anyway, so in Israel they strike very, 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 very often. I don't know if that's accurately describe the situation, but basically they very often strike, and there's shvita, everybody's on strike, so this becomes a problem when they're bringing people to Eretz Yisrael. So I actually remember one case where initially it ended up, these things change so fast with so many factors, but originally Rabbi Yashav said bury the person in Chutz La'aretz al Tanai. It sounds strange, but this is actually brought in Shulchan Aruch, they're allowed to do this, to bury the person al-Tanai, temporarily with the intention to move them somewhere else, and that's okay. That's Mefurish in Shulchan Aruch that that's fine to bury out tonight to move them afterwards. Is that burial place also about? No, I'm not sure. But just one thing to know, if it becomes a big shiloh, I mean, it's not a big shiloh. If a person is buried out tonight, that it will depend on what the next step is to decide when the Shiva is going to start. In general, Shiva starts as soon as the person is buried, right? But if the person is buried al tanai, so then depending on what's going to happen next will depend on when Shiva is going to start. If they're going to move them, if they don't know, then they start Shiva right away. But if they know that they're going to move them in 2 days, they don't start Shiva
what about
immediately.
Can you learn Torah? Can you
no, so they have, so they no, they have a din einan. There's no Shiva, but they're not part of the Kala Mitzvahs, but they It's a funny situation of what, yeah, and what not. Okay, I just wanted to talk about one more very, very important point. But basically, and that is cremation. I know it's not again anybody here, but just a little bit of what it's about. So four years ago, Shalom Kamenetsky was here. He spoke, I think, in presidential about cremation. It's a fascinating class. But basically, he didn't. Not everything I'm going to say is from him, but basically, the idea is that Chazal said that kvura is like planting a seed, a kernel of wheat, and just like when you plant a kernel of wheat, the wheat rots, and it doesn't rot completely, but that little drop of good that's still there that didn't completely rot eventually grows back and all the wheat comes out from there. The Gemara says in the same way, a person is buried also naked, so to speak, and he will come out from his grave fully clothed by Tchias HaMesim. A person that's cremated, there's nothing left. There's nothing there to build him back. If I could say, after going through the Shiloh, a person who's cremated doesn't have a chelik in Olam Habah, and he has no chance of a future. If I could say, for all the wicked things that a person might do, sins or whatever, regardless of how far they are from the religion, I read once a book on Jewish mobsters. So it said that this guy, he had one mitzvah. He wouldn't kill on Yom Kippur, right? So this guy, if he's buried, right, could end up coming back with Tchias HaMesim, depending, you know, mitigating circumstances, but possibly. But the person who may have given some charity and they've donated to the Federation, whatever. But if he gets cremated, he will not come back. If I could say, it's probably the stupidest thing somebody could possibly do is to get cremated, because it's gone forever. There is no chance of ever having any future of schar of Tchias HaMesim, of anything. So the Shiloh is what happened to all the Jews that were burned in the crematorium. So if a person was burnt against his will, so obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a special system of rebuilding their bodies from scratch. Don't ask me how. But that they of course are Zechias HaMesim, especially a person who was killed on Kiddush Hashem. But a person who deliberately did that, we don't bury them. The Paiskim say to Ophir and Chuvin and Ismaisha that the ashes have no mitzvah of kvura, and we don't put them in a Jewish burial. Okay. Any further questions?
Is it Al Tanai, if you hope that the Al Tanai would not be made that place also to no, then they should have like an Al Tanai place near where it is, you have to wait 5 days.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
That's not the only issue.
Okay.
It might be Rishi.
Right.
Thank
you. I didn't know.